read that passage, that you felt the tension between Jesus and his disciples. We keep getting this picture again and again of these disciples almost as blundering fools that just don't get it. They don't quite understand what this kingdom of God means, who is important in that kingdom. They don't understand how that kingdom comes about through Christ's death and resurrection. They continually are seeming to work against Christ's purposes. And we see that yet again in this passage. As they again are restricting these children from coming to them, and Jesus becomes indignant. And so this morning, we see that Jesus teaches that the kingdom of God belongs to children. That is our theme this morning. The kingdom of God belongs to children. And we will see that this theme, as we look at this passage, we will see, first of all, that the children are resisted by those disciples. Second of all, we will see that the children are received by Jesus. And secondly, we will see that children are required in order to enter the kingdom of God. And so as we look at these 3 points, as we look at these children who are resisted, we see yet again the disciples misunderstanding the kingdom of God, misunderstanding who is the first in the kingdom of God. Now look back with me at Mark 9, 35 through 37. This is what I mean by why this is so shocking and why Jesus is so indignant. If you look at those words, it says there in verses 35 through 37, he called the 12 to them and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last and servant of all." Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me." And only a few verses later, we are now seeing the disciples restricting the children, holding them back, not receiving them, but instead hindering them from coming to Jesus. Now, we are not told exactly why the disciples do this, but it's clear that they don't believe that these children are worth Jesus' time. Why should he take the time out to bless these children? He is a very important teacher. He is one who heals. These children are just little children. They have no benefit to Jesus' mission. They clearly think that Jesus should not be bothered with such a task as blessing little children. Now, in that society, children had no status. They had no rights because they couldn't contribute anything to society, into the family. And so childhood was merely this unavoidable period that was endured to reach maturity so that they could begin to contribute to the family, that they could contribute to society. And so as these disciples see these little children coming to them, they see that it's not worth their time because what can they contribute to Jesus' missions? Sure, those who were blind, who received sight, could declare and speak of the wonders of what Christ has done. But these children, what good can they do for Jesus. And we can see what the disciples value, not only from this account, but think about what we saw last week in the rich young ruler, the following account. They saw that rich young ruler and they thought, now this is the sort of person we want with us. He's a well-respected man. He follows the word of God. He's wealthy. He carries authority and clout in society. People will listen to him. He'll be able to shore up more for Christ. More support. He'll be able to spread the kingdom far and wide in the word about the Messiah. Now he is important. He's valuable. Now, people of God, we live in a different time. But our society hasn't changed all that much, has it? The attitude still persists in society and even within our hearts and within the church. Abortion is a symptom of this attitude in our world. A child still in the womb is merely a lump of cells that is no benefit, no value. We can do what we want with it. Couples don't really desire children because, well, they're a drain on resources. They're a drain on time. They're a drain so that we can't travel. And we can't do all the things that we want to do as a couple. Yeah, the husband and the wife, they can contribute to the family. But children, they're just a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money. I can't believe how many times that when my family go out and about, that we get the shocked looks and the question, are all those yours? Yeah, they are. But this attitude can also grow within our church. It can grow within my life. So often when it comes to bedtime, as my wife and I are corralling the children to bed, we're ready for the day to end, and the children keep getting up and out. We begin to feel like they're more of a nuisance than valuable and worthy of spending the time with. We can see them, like the world, as a drain on our time and our energy. But let's look at that gospel corrective. What does Jesus do? A very, very busy, industrious man. Very concerned about the work of the kingdom. Without rest, many coming to him again and again. We saw that in the first half where the crowds are consistently coming to him. What does Jesus do? Jesus receives these children. He takes time out of his teaching, out of his preaching, to hold them, to touch them, to speak his blessing upon them. The disciples' attitude is met with Jesus' indignation, because they are a stumbling block from and seeking to block those children from coming. These children who are being brought to Jesus by their parents for blessing. And so Jesus rebukes them and he says, "Permit them to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The kingdom of God belongs to children. So does this mean that all children possess some sort of quality that means that they belong to God until they reach some age of accountability? No. You will notice that these parents are bringing these children to Jesus. These parents have faith in Jesus Christ to see him as the one who can bless them, as the one who is able to give them life, as the one who promises to them eternal life and the kingdom of God. So because of their faith, they are being brought. And you will notice that these children are being brought. And not only that, but these are little children who can be wrapped up in Jesus' arms. These are children that are not of some age of accountability, but are being brought by the parents to be able to receive that wonderful blessing of the kingdom of God. These children were born like you and I, as children of wrath. But because of these believing parents, they were freely given the blessing of Jesus Christ. Now many who do not believe that an infant baptism would ridicule us for using such a passage to prove infant baptism. I mean, there isn't a drop of water in this passage, is there? However, is it such a stretch to see here the blessing of the kingdom of God being applied to children? Children who haven't chosen this by their own faith. Blessings of the kingdom being given to children who aren't at some age of accountability. Children of believers who are being brought to Jesus for blessings. Blessings of life. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. In a moment, Paisley, Georgia, will be brought forward by her believing parents. And the blessings of the kingdom of God will be applied to her without her conscious knowing. And what does this emphasize? This is the work of God. This child can contribute nothing. There is no benefit given to the kingdom of God by this baptism. And so the emphasis lays on God's work, God's promise, God's faithfulness throughout generations. It is a promise that he will minister to her through the word of God, brought to her by her parents. And as we read that form, brought to her by us, as we promise to continually to bring her to Jesus, brought to her by the faithful preaching of the word of God, so that she will see Jesus week after week. And we trust that this word will not turn void. And so those of you who might be visiting with us might be surprised. Not so much right now. Surprisingly, many of the children are being quite quiet. But there is interruptions in our services. There are children who sometimes get up or cry. But listen carefully, children. You are brought here because your parents believe that Jesus is here and blesses you through this word. Jesus calls you to be faithful. Jesus calls you to receive the kingdom of God, for it belongs to such as you. Jesus blesses you in the preaching of the word and the blessing that is spoken here from this pulpit. And so God does not just bless older people through this preaching. He speaks upon a covenant community here. And he speaks upon the disciples, both young and old. The Lord blesses you and keeps you, and his face shines upon you week after week here in the service. But people of God, we also must recognize that all of us must be children. For Jesus says that it is required that you receive the kingdom of God like a little child. Jesus didn't save us so that we could benefit the kingdom of God. We can bring nothing to merit that salvation. Even our righteousness is like dirty rags. Our righteousness cannot exceed those of the scribes and the Pharisees. But Jesus Christ did it all. His kingdom comes not through us, but by Christ himself. He is the one who has established it. He is the one who gives this gift freely, with no strings attached. So often we as older people have a hard time receiving gifts, don't we? When somebody gives us an extremely expensive gift, we really, really have a hard time swallowing. I don't need that. That's so kind of you. We can so often try to look for strings attached to such gifts, looking for the manipulation of somebody else. But Jesus emphasizes here that we must receive this as a little child, recognizing that we can give nothing to this. We can pay him back. We cannot pay him back. And Jesus says that in order to enter the kingdom of God, one must receive it like a little child. And so as we look at the baptism this morning, as we see the water applied that shows salvation comes through God alone, as he rinses us of all our sins, as he gives us new life and removes away that old life, we too are being called again to receive that gospel like a little child, recognizing that we cannot add anything. And so, this means as parents, as we raise these little ones, we don't only have the responsibility to teach them right and wrong, but we need to be continually bringing these children to Jesus, to show them what he has done in order that they may repent and believe by his power. Too often as parents, we are very good at pointing out their rights and wrongs, but forgetting to bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Him that they may see His wonderful kingdom in which there is forgiveness because of the great work that He has done. And so, beloved people of God, as we observe the sacrament of baptism this morning, see it and receive the kingdom of God like a little child, because to such belongs the kingdom of God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God and Father, we thank you that this kingdom of God does not depend upon us, that we do not receive these blessings because of anything we can do, because we fall so far short. We are so weak. We are so filled with sin that not one of us could add anything to our salvation in our own strength. And so, Lord, would you testify to us this morning the good news of the gospel as we witness the sign and seal being given to Paisley, Georgia. This we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.